Hello, and welcome to another episode of Upfront and Undivided with Luke and Dina. Hi, babe.
Hey, babe.
How's it going?
It's good. How are you?
I'm good.
We got people in here with
us. We do have people in with
us. It's sketchy. We got sketchy people in here with us.
It is what it is.
No, they're good people.
Yeah.
We like these people.
Yes.
They wouldn't be in here with us if we didn't like these people.
That is very true.
We've got John and Tracy Flagger.
Yes.
Yay!
Hey!
Hi, y'all. Hello.
Hey.
Y'all are welcome to say hello now.
Yeah.
We'll talk now.
Yeah, now you can talk. You may speak freely.
Good deal.
It is. It's hard, isn't it? Because it's like you don't hear the music. You don't hear anything. All of a sudden, you're like,
yeah.
Are we talking now? What are we doing? Yeah, no, we get it. How are you guys?
We're good.
Yeah?
Busy, but good. Yeah.
Do you want to do a little introduction of our sweet friends?
Yeah. So, I mean, y'all are married. Y'all are parents. You've both been in ministry. You've both worked out of ministry and in ministry. There's part of me that still like wraps my head around the, like, you're pastors, but also you're working. I mean, I know you're not pastors right now, but I know in the past you guys have done a lot of, you guys have had your hands on a lot of stuff and you've put on different shoes and different hats all at the same time. And
they become our friends.
They are our dear, dear friends.
Yeah. So. They come and live with us on the weekends periodically.
Yeah.
Just to kind of hang out and do stuff and be, which that in itself has been kind of fun.
Yeah.
So it's like, because we didn't know y'all from anybody. Hey, do you have a space for this family to come? Because you guys literally drive an hour to get to church just to be in the presence of God and to be with people. And it's like, and you guys literally will put the money in to do the things to go the places. But it's like, we've got a spare space. Y'all come and with your beautiful teenage daughter now.
Yes,
she's
teenage.
A teenager. Jesus. I think that's
daughters.
Actually what got you and I talking, because you're like looking at me going, tell me things.
Yes. This is new territory. I have no idea what is coming with teenage years.
Yeah.
I know what it was like when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it was like. I don't know what it's like to raise a teenager.
Completely different.
Oh, yeah.
Completely different situation.
And then we had John. You had John on the Equipped Man.
Yeah.
On your was it your last interview?
Yeah. My last episode.
That was powerful.
Yeah.
That was really, really
good.
You guys had a good.
It was an honor.
So Tracy is the better half of John.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
And you guys,
she's the more polished version.
She's pretty. It helps that she's pretty. Sorry, John. Fine.
It's good, man.
It's fine.
Yeah. Glad to know she's pretty.
But you guys just celebrated an anniversary. What number?
18.
Congratulations. Yep.
We've been married 18 together, 20 in November. So.
Not long enough.
He says not long enough.
Aw.
I like that answer.
Yeah. He was taught long ago by a pastor mentor that, you know, when someone asks you how long you've been married, you just say not long enough.
Yeah.
Oh,
I like that. I like that.
Out of trouble.
Well, it keeps you out of trouble, but all of a sudden I was thinking, but it also, it reminds you that you still have space to grow.
Exactly.
And you get to continue to explore and discover and rediscover and all of the things with this person.
Absolutely. So
I love that. Aw, that's sweet. That's sweet. Well, we have a topic. What's your topic? What are you wanting to talk about? Why did we bring this amazing couple?
I mean, part of it was because John came up to me last weekend and said, hey, we want to talk on your podcast.
So this is your fault, John.
It is John's fault. So
great.
But we want, you know, again, we want to talk about, I know one of the things I wanted to talk about when we were discussing whether or not, yes, do we want them on our podcast? Because, you know, sometimes we'll be picky. Because we don't want anybody, because we believe you guys bring a weightiness with you. And we kind of wanted to talk about some of the things that you've gone through in ministry as a couple. And, you know, I know on In the Real, they had an episode where they talked about church hurt. And I kind of wanted to, part of our conversation was I kind of wanted to talk to you guys about that. And how do you come out still strong, still together, still loving God after the flames that you guys have walked through?
Well, it's a very good question. I think, first off, you need to understand that church in itself is going to hurt you because church in itself is just a building. It's just a bunch of people that make up a body, and in that body there's people that are not always going to have the same focus nor the same perspective of love and compassion as you have or as myself. But in the same concept of that, you have to understand that, you know, we are taught to be an example of those that have gone before us. You know, the disciples, all those that have suffered and, you know, went through great things. And, you know, we found that God wasn't the one hurting us. It wasn't, you know, he wasn't bringing it. It wasn't like it was an attack or anything like that, but just misconception. You know, misunderstanding, as I've often, I make light of it now, you know, people not wanting the truth necessarily.
Yeah.
Can you just make me feel good? But we've always come out on top just basically because we made it up in our minds or, you know, certainly, and I've taught this in my family more than anything is, you know, we're not going to be what everybody else wants us to be. We're going to be what the Bible's called us to be and be who God's laid out for us.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means you're going to walk in with tears and walk with those that are your enemies just as often as not. But so, yeah, it's tough. Church hurt is definitely a real thing, and I think it's across the board. Everybody has experienced it in some way or some fashion.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, too, when you do get hurt by church members or church in general, a lot of times you have to dig deeper and look at the bigger picture and what hurt are they going through?
Mm.
You know, obviously they're from a place where they have possibly been hurt, and so they don't know how to respond to it, or they don't know how to come up with the word that I'm wanting. Deal with it or, you know, find a way to get through their own hurt.
Yeah.
So the only way that they know how to express their hurt is unfortunately, unintentionally or even intentionally hurting someone else because maybe they want to they want you to feel what they're feeling.
Yeah.
And, you know, so a lot of times I've had to learn the hard way that, you know, it could be just that they're hurting.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to get over the hurt.
Yeah. And it's like they don't know how to process.
Yeah. You know, that's the word I was looking for, process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is how I feel, and I don't know quite how to handle it and process it and express it. So it's like, I'm going to now project it on you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, immediately what came to my mind when you were saying it was, it almost becomes their identity. Right? The hurt becomes your identity. And when you don't know who you are and whose you are, or when you lose sight of that perspective of your life, of ultimately the one that is in charge, then that the offense or the bitter root or the stuff, that starts becoming the identity. And you start taking that on as opposed to what does God want to do or how does this, you know, kind of feeding that wound as opposed to asking God to completely expose it, clean it out, which that hurts, right? Like that in itself, that can be a process, but allowing him to come into that space with you and say, okay, I need you. Let's heal this. Let's fix this. But yeah, I can see where that's gross.
Yeah.
Like it's hurt. That's hard.
It's heartbreaking.
It is.
To be honest, it's very heartbreaking and you know, things that, to help me with that is I've surrounded myself with individuals like you, Dina, and Luke that I can come to with no judgment. And, you know, if I need to be whipped back in shape, you're going to whip me back in shape and say,
lovingly
say, girl, get over it.
Yeah.
Now what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel that with church hurt, a lot of times you just got to find the right people to surround yourself with.
Yeah.
To help with that.
It is. It's a thing of you want to surround yourself with people that acknowledge, okay, yep, man, I'm sorry. I've learned that forgiveness, saying I'm sorry, is huge in the kingdom of God. And it doesn't seem to be something that unfortunately doesn't get to It doesn't get said as often as you would think it needs to.
I'd say it's, with that though, I think it's bigger than the church.
I agree.
Because, I mean, as much as...
That's become culture.
It is culture because, you know, they say like two of the things that are hardest for people to say is, I'm sorry and I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even though how many times, John, you've got the Bible memorized more than I, how many times does the Bible talk about forgiveness?
Well, a lot.
You know, and yet
70 times 7, so you're never getting past it.
Right. So. You know, and yet that is as people, as humans, as flawed beings.
Yeah.
That is one of the hardest things that we could say.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
So you, Luke, were starting to talk, and this is one of the things that really got us talking today. And you were talking about the arsenal of God. I know that probably some of our listeners are going to be like, okay, guys, what does this have to do with anything? Yeah. And it's like, this kind of has everything to do with everything.
Yeah.
Right now, what we're seeing, we believe what we're seeing, you and I personally, just kind of corporately around us, is there seems to be such an onslaught, and you guys could probably testify, on marriages and the family unit. Yeah. And...
Well, first off, let me explain kind of my theory of, or my vision rather of the arsenal is, and this hit me years ago, when I was talking to a Christian, and it's like, you know, God has empowered us to have full access to his arsenal. And it's like in my mind, again, as military warrior minded, it's like, first couple rows, you step in, and there's like the sticks, there's the slings, and then the further back you go, the weapons just get more and more powerful, you know, and at the back is like the nukes and better.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like there's so many Christians, they step into the first couple rows, and it's like, well, this was good enough for David, or it's a weapon of God, so therefore it's good enough.
Right.
And then it's like, today I had the realization of the enemy has the same amount in his arsenal that God has in his. And it's like, you know, if he's using all these tools, all these weapons,
and he's not holding back,
and he's, you know, and again, how many times does the Bible say weapons formed against us? Yeah. The enemy is coming. The enemy is prowling. Here's what's going to happen. You know, God's like details. The enemy will come at you.
Yeah.
I think a big thing, and I don't want to jump in, but I think we need to understand that, you know, people think, well, this is some physical thing. This is like some flaming arrow that's going to pop my tire. No.
Yeah.
You know, the enemy is coming with the word, but he's coming with the word twisted.
Yes.
He's coming with the word deformed. He's coming with the same scriptures that are being preached, but he's bringing that weapon that God's given to you to take authority and control of the situation. And he's bringing it just twisted just enough so you can get off course. You can end up here in left field somewhere. And that's the thing. Everybody thinks, oh, he's going to come with something that's recognizable.
It's going to be big, world-changing.
I'm going to recognize him because he's going to be this three-headed cyclops, and I'm going to know exactly who he is.
It's going to be a semi driving through my house.
yeah, exactly. No, he's coming as your TV preacher. He's coming as your pastor that's saying it's okay now to have multiple wives. He's coming as that man that's saying it's okay to live in sin. He's coming as that woman that's deeming that it's all right to be in adultery. He's coming.
Yeah.
With the word, and he's saying it's okay.
Right.
And he's coming as that other still small voice, intrusive thought that says, did God really say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you sure that's in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just enough to trip you up and put that hook of you questioning your loyalty.
Right.
And that's enough to trip us.
Or if something happens and you get that church hurt, or you get hurt in general, not just church, but something in your life, which I can personally, and I'm in that season where I've faced rejection.
Yeah.
It's like, see, you're not good enough.
See, that thought was right.
See, why are you doing this? You don't know what you're doing.
Right. Just,
that still small voice can be anything.
Oh, yeah. See, they treated you like that. See, God's not really all good.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yuck. Just yucky. Just yucky.
Yeah.
But I know that one of the things that on top of the arsenal that you were talking about, that years ago when I had seen that kind of that vision as far as when you are at peace and you're really good at saying this, that it's better to be a warrior in a garden
yes.
than a gardener in the middle of a war.
Yep.
And we're talking about the weapons of our warfare. We're talking about being, you know, ready in season and out of season.
Yeah.
And that right now it seems like as much, it's really bizarre to me because it seems like as much as all hell seems to be breaking loose in our nation, yeah. with all of the things.
Nations.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, sir. Nations. There's like almost like this, it feels like there's just like a lull. And what I'm seeing is the men of God, and I'm not just going to put this on you guys, please yeah. understand. And you already know that it's not a, but it's like the enemy is creating this thing inside that says, oh, we'll just back up a little bit. It's going to be okay. And then what happens eventually is because you're not fighting that focus or you're not sharpening that sword while you're waiting, then all of a sudden the enemy comes in, like you said, John, as far as like, he's going to bring, you know, you got the pornography, you've got extramarital affairs, you've got your children going crazy, you've got all of this stuff that's yeah. happening, right? And then it's like, the people of God, the moms, the dads, the families, we're not standing up into our position. We're not grabbing hold of the weapons that you keep talking about, Luke. Like, we're not pulling down the strongholds. We're not constantly in prayer. Tracy, yeah. you had actually, we're talking about just some of the weapons, just praise and worship and prayer.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on? Like, give us some practical applications, like when you are in a scenario, just even as a pastor's, things that you might have even have seen that you can say, if you just do a couple of these things, it will keep you from kind of tripping up. What would be some things that you guys would say?
I'll let you lead and I'll kind of follow. That's kind of our thing.
Yep,
he leads, thing. I follow.
you know, a lot of times when I deal with people, first off, knowing that they're probably, you know, dealing with hurt in the situation, I have to approach it a lot like if they're a dog that's been struck by a car.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, that's probably maybe a little graphic, but I'm trying to think of a way to explain it. You know, so as much as I want to help them, I know that with every movement there's going to be pain.
Mm-hmm.
And with, you know, that graphicness of that, you know, I'm trying to help them, and at the same time, they're going to lash out and bite and snap and,
yeah.
you know, because they're in pain.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's good and everything, you know, the right process, you know, you're getting them the medical attention, you're whatever. You're giving them the word. You're giving them the right foundational stuff. In those moments, you have to remember it's not personal.
Okay, mm-hmm. that's yeah. good.
It is spiritual. Yeah. You're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're fighting against spiritual principalities of yeah. darkness at work. So if you first off let people know that no matter what situation they're in, you know, marital, physical, financial, whatever it is, take out the equation that this is a physical thing that you're in, but it is a spiritual warfare.
That's good.
And yeah. that if you can say, okay, I want you to understand that I'm not attacking you, even though I'm going to point out the flaws, and I'm going to point out not only your flaws, but the flaws of the situation that you both have created, or your job's created, or your situation is created. You know, good choices, bad choices, doesn't matter, whatever they are. And then give them principles. Okay, let's transform our mind. Romans 12. Verse 2, it says, you know, take the word of God, you know, mm-hmm. transform your mind to the renewing to the word of God so that you can know the good, perfect purpose of what God has for you. So first off, you have to begin to find where you are and pray in that moment, find the word that suits the situation. You know, if you're struggling with love, you know, I tell people, okay, you're going to go to Corinthians chapter 13. You're going to read this thing over
it's
and over until
favorites.
You really understand what yeah. love is.
Yep.
And, you know, some people say, well, I'm struggling at faith. Okay, so you're going to go to the Hall of Faith. You're going to go to Hebrews 13. Come on. You're going to dig in, and you're going to find. Now, people all the time will say, well, how do I put into practice what God wants me to be? Okay,
yeah.
so you're just a babe. Let's go to John. He's talked so simple
yeah.
about being just a normal believer, human being.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to understand that once we identify the situation, we have to approach it with cautiousness, but then allow them to be hurt and allow them to be open, let them be transparent, allow them to lash out, let them be human. And then say, okay, here's what you've got to do. And then let them know you got to rejoice in the moments, up or down, doesn't matter. It is a roller coaster. We're in life. And in those moments, you got to find your God. You've got to find your opportunity to allow him to speak to you, which means you need to shut up.
That's good.
And, you know, most people want to go to God and say, well, you're my sugar daddy in the sky. Fix this for me. Well, that's not what God is.
Right.
You know, so with that, you know, I think we, you know, we deal with people that think, well, I got saved. It's peaches and cream.
No, far from it. No, it's not. Because on that, on the other side, on the non-pastoral side, the I guess civilian side or whatever you want to call it. I mean, I don't even know a term, if there is a term, but hurt's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. And it's okay to not be okay. We've got to understand that it's okay not to be okay, but staying in the hurt is a choice.
Mm. Come on, Tracy. Yeah.
It's a choice. And John was talking about how, you know, okay, you're a babe in Christ. Okay, well, that means just like any other life skill, you're going to have to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're going to have to practice praise in the good and the bad.
Yeah.
You're going to have to practice prayer in the good and the bad.
This is her teacher coming up.
It is.
Do you see? This is, I'm sorry, yes, I'm a teacher by trade.
No, I love it.
14 years, I think. Yeah, 14 years of teaching. But it's one of those, just that situation where, okay, we got to make a choice here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Are you going to wallow in self-pity, or are we going to stand up, put on our armor of God, grab those arsenals that we're talking about, prayer, praise, the Bible, reading the word, getting with fellowship with strong Christian friends, or as your loving boy said this morning, family.
You're family.
We are family.
We are family.
We're friends that are now family.
Right.
In order to get to a place where we can get past that hurt.
Right.
And then what happens is your hurt becomes groundwork for somebody else that you can push into, or you can say, hey, you know what? I've been through that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know how you feel. I know what you're going through.
Yeah.
I understand the hurt and the pain. Let me help you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me help you. Let's go have coffee. Let's go talk. Let's go have some real conversations, because we've talked about that, the four of us.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, let's not say, oh, I'm going to just pray for you.
Yeah.
Let's stop
and
pray.
And walk away.
And walk away.
Yeah.
Even Heather Eschenbaum said that on Wednesday. Like, if you tell me to pray for you, I'm going to pray for you.
Right.
I'm not going to pray and walk away.
Right.
Let's pray together. Let's go have coffee. Let's sit down and have real conversations about, okay, what could the underlying situation be that causes this hurt or caused that hurt?
Yeah.
And if it happens again or we get a trigger, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Right.
Because sometimes, prayers are effective.
Yes.
Period. I'll say, though, that also sometimes it can be more effective, or, I don't know, additionally effective in a way, as really bad language. But getting into somebody's life and making that connection, and, you know, I can pray for you. You can come up to me and say, brother, I need prayer. Okay, let's pray. Let's pray for this breakthrough. Let's pray for this, to get over this obstacle. But it's almost more effective if you make that connection. And it's, you know, because I've thought about it, you know, it's like during church, during worship, it's one thing to you know, go up, all of a sudden it's like you're worshiping next to somebody that you're pushing for the kingdom, you know, you're just, but you're just standing there next to somebody and you both are worshiping versus you have a connection with somebody.
Yes.
And you both go up together.
Yeah.
Or you join somebody that's there and you are worshiping together.
Yes.
To push forth the kingdom.
You're storming the gates of hell together.
It is.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And it is. It's something about that connection that, and I think that's what I like, Tracy, about that concept of, I won't just pray for you, but I'll make that connection with you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Let's be friends. Let's get into each other's lives, because that can possibly be more effective than just a prayer.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's like,
oh, it's for sure effective. And, you know, we do stuff all the time kind of like this. We have a gentleman that's, you know, he's old enough to be my father and maybe yeah. grandfather, you know, really, you know, served in the military and whatnot. You know, I spent lots of money to do reloading with him. I've always wanted to do reloading, but yeah. really I don't have the time to do reloading.
but he
needed somebody to just listen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And to just show love. Mm-hmm. And you know, we've went to eat, we've done all kinds of stuff together, and his demeanor since the first job I did for him till now has changed. His
nice.
You know, so it's not just about, you know, it's not just word. It's not just, you know, those that are saved or those that aren't saved or, you know, so yeah, relationship has a huge play.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and people can tell whether you really mean it or not.
Yes.
If you say you're going to pray on Sunday and you don't call them on Monday and say, how you doing today? You're probably just a liar. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably a lot of truth in that. But
yeah. And I mean, when you're talking about relationship, I mean, again, my story of how I became a Christian, you know,
yeah.
it was through that relationship. You know, my neighbor became my friend and wanted to actually get into my life and welcomed me into his life and never talked about Jesus, never talked about the church, never mm-hmm. talked about the Bible. He just
lived it out loud.
Yeah, lived out loud and
yeah.
let's share life. And, you know, and that was, I was like, you know, he's a cool guy. Whatever's in him, I want some of that.
Yeah.
I'll give it a shot. And that's how I became a Christian.
Brings a greater change.
Yeah. It does. It really does.
Yeah.
You know, because it's that connection. It's not just like a promise of, oh, if you become a Christian, you'll get a better life. God will fix your problems if you come to church.
No. He'll give you wisdom and discernment and tell you to stop being a knucklehead.
Yes.
And then you'll make better
decisions. A lot of
people
don't like that speech.
And they don't like that speech.
No.
It's like you get to change. You now have a blueprint to where you can walk in abundance and goodness, but you also know how to use the bazookas and learn how to use the arsenal, because you will be having to war and fight for these things. But you'll be able to fight from an advantage point of God as opposed to
yeah.
the enemy.
Yeah.
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 So I will shift to sort of a practical question, because I know the two of you have done so much ministry and been pastors and all of that, a lot of life in churches. How do you two, as a couple, as a married couple, as parents, when all the attacks and all the arrows are coming at you from outside, how do the two of you stay connected? Keep that marriage bond strengthened and unified while all the attacks and all the fires are going on around you?
I know for me, I mean, I hate to say I'm a rock, but I mean, I'm very much, I'm very solid in where I stand and what I believe. And, you know, that didn't come easy. That come with a price. But at the same time, you know, I am one that reaffirms in the, probably in my labors of, you know, what I want to support or how I do things. And
yeah.
When everything else is falling apart, I'm probably the first one to say, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
You know, shut up, knock it off, be quiet, let's move on. Or,
yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it's kind of like, you know, just as of recent, it was kind of like, okay, you're not in this for this. Get up, you know.
Yeah.
Pull the blankets off your head. Smile. you're doing this for Jesus, and you're doing this for those that are much smaller than you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my wife just kind of looked at me, and she goes, "I know you're right." So
I hate those conversations.
She's probably giving me the evil eye. I'm not.
But they're needed. Those conversations are needed.
But I mean, even you know, we always say outside, but. You know, before we came to, you know, where we are now, you know, and enjoying the body where we are now, we served, you know, for 2 or 3 years, and we were associate pastors, and, you know, the thing that hurt the most is when I heard that they were rejecting, you know, the anointing of God and rejecting yeah. what God was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the attack was not just, you know, is, okay, do you play nice and just... walk in religion?
Yeah.
Do you just get comfy because everybody else is staying comfy? You know, why do you have to rock the boat?
Right.
So the attack came immediately. Well, you just don't want to submit to authority. You don't want to. you don't like the way we're doing it. You want your own church. You want to be the head. Or, and it's in those moments. You know, I personally struggled. Not because. I wanted to be the head, you know.
Right.
Many a times I said, "God, I don't want to ever preach another time." I just recently had one of those moments where I'm not doing this, and I got the, you know, kind of the look like, "Yeah, you are."
You got
yeah.
the mama look,
and
not for me either.
And then had to be told again, "Quit."
Yeah,
you know, quit doubting what God's done and yeah. speak. And so sometimes even myself, I find myself doubting not. Because I doubt my faith or where I'm at, but I doubt the church. Mm. You know, I doubt, you know, what, when I see what it's doing, it hurts.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It hurts deep because I come out of so much garbage. And I go, man, how can you throw this away?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And some people that have been in it forever, I go, man, you idiot. You bunch of idiots. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
So when we come here, you know, we come here with pain. We came here with hurt. We came here with the mentality, God, I ain't going nowhere. I want to sit on the back row as far back as I can get, as yep. quiet as I can be. Let me be the church mouse. And I just want to worship you and be me. I don't need nothing else. So in those moments, you know, as God's very good at dragging us out, you know, from all sides, but. I think in those moments, I had to make up my mind it wasn't about me.
Yeah.
It's good.
And it isn't about me.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're where we are for a purpose, on purpose. You know, so I have to keep it in front of me that, you know, I have to keep, you know, that which is important in front of me. You know, so when I keep him in front of me, when he is the main attraction of my life,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, when he becomes the focus of my affection, when he is everything to me, that's when he'll become the center of my attention.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's, and, you know, and it doesn't matter how you put that, frontwards or backwards. If you get it lined up, then he unfolds everything.
Yeah.
You know, and, I think the last 2 years of being where we are now and with you guys and developing friendships and, you know, ready, you know, and God saying things like, okay, now you need to talk about church. You need to talk about the war. You need to talk about the body. You need to talk about how to recover. You need to So it's obvious that, you know, we're not the only ones that have had to stand in tough times and say, okay, God. You know, evidently you're allowing people to do this, and it's not that, but you know, so yeah, recovery from moments that are difficult inside or out, you have to make up your mind that it's not about you.
Yeah.
What I also heard though, John, when you were talking and saying this, is what I heard was, you've also allowed yourself to be so incredibly transparent with God. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I am a man. I am faulted. I am frail. I am foolish. I don't have this, but what I do have is God.
And what he has restored in my life is priceless. And you're not willing to give that up for anything or anybody or any position.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think from the ministry part of it, when it comes to ministers, because I've been in church all my life. Like, I've walked through, you know, church hurts. I've walked through, you know, like church splits, all literally the pillars walking out of the room kind of scenario, and you're going, mm-hmm. I don't even know where mm-hmm. my foundation lies, because our foundation starts lying in people as yep, opposed to yep. God.
That's
and
good.
Then, you know what I mean? And then it creates false expectations
yes.
onto people.
Yes.
And what I heard in you was, I just want to be so in love with God that, and to show other people that they can have that too.
Yep. You know, we try to serve in everything we do. And we have found that has been our one of our ministries that God has used us in. And really, it helps us stay selfless.
Yeah.
Helps us stay in love with the Lord and helps us stay humble. God needs us to be humble. He needs us to be open, transparent.
We have to remind ourselves that people are people.
Oh.
Tracy, you said it. Like, people yeah. are people, right? Like, we have to understand that hurt people hurt people. We hear it all the time, mm-hmm. right? We teach our kids that, because you being a school teacher, me being a substitute teacher, just we look at these kids and we go, you know, it, you're going to hurt somebody if you're hurting still.
Yeah.
So let me help you with that hurt, so that way you're no longer somebody that's projecting pain, but you're somebody that's coming and helping heal
Amen.
That pain.
Amen. Yeah. You said it all, babe.
I didn't mean to.
That was good.
I was trying to find a way to simplify it, and I wasn't doing a very good job.
No, I think that was good. Okay. I think that's what it is. I think that's part of our problem. Can I say it that way? I think that's part of our problem. I think we make things too complicated.
Yeah.
I think the enemy wants to come in, right? He wants to come in, still kill and destroy, but he also wants to create confusion.
Yeah.
He wants to make it harder than what it actually is.
Yeah.
This walk with God, is it hard? Yes.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Because we have an adversary. But is it hard because of God? No.
No.
He is such a good, good father. His yoke is easy, right?
Yeah.
His burden is light.
Yeah.
When we walk with him, just the joy in the midst of the pain, the peace that comes in the midst of all of it, right? Like, there's all of the goodness that comes with God. It's the enemy. It's the people that are trying to either downplay God, or maybe they just don't know God in that capacity. Or maybe they put their expectation into something outside of what God wanted to do. Because, Tracy, you actually wrote something down that triggered that thought, that as far as, like, what was your number eight?
Oh, how to stand in, like, time of adversary or the storm, or just when you pray and you're waiting for an answer, you've got to be devoted in the waiting.
Yeah.
Devoted in the waiting.
Yeah.
Like John's, like what you're saying. Like, here's my foundation. This is my preset. Like, this is my preset. At the same time, John, I keep picking on you a little bit.
Go for it.
I don't mean to.
I got broad shoulders.
I know you do.
He's got thick
skin. But, like, those moments, because I know my guy, my amazing guy, where when, okay, so we're gym rats. You guys know this. We went to the gym. Mm-hmm. You took our boy to breakfast. Crazy. Sweet, sweet, right? Precious.
I didn't exercise during the week. What's wrong with you?
It's fine. But the beauty is when we go to the gym, okay, so people are half naked. Bless them, is what we can say. And he will protect his eyes and bounce his eyes to protect my heart.
Mm. Good deal.
And when you have presets, right, as a man of God, as the head of your household, you know, even that beautiful girl of yours out there, you know, you're teaching her, she's watching you. This is the man that this is someday that, like, I want a guy like this to marry, right?
Yep. Yes.
You want to be that example for her.
Yep, absolutely.
And it's that space where you say, I will protect my peace at all cost because of the peace that's behind me.
Yes.
Because of the peace that's, you know what I mean? It's like, it's understanding our positions, even the women of God. We're the same way.
Yep.
I'm not going to listen to the gossip. you start bashing your husband, I'm out.
For real?
I'm sorry. I don't do that. We don't spouse bash. If I hear somebody do it, we either walk away or I'll go, wow. And you're the idiot that married them.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I usually go, oh, so you put the wedge in. So you're ready for separation.
You know?
Okay.
And it's like protecting the peace at all cost. You know? Like, read that again. Could you?
Being devoted in the waiting.
Being devoted in the waiting. We've got to, because there's such a battle going on right now. Yeah. And you guys can see it in me and feel it in me. Like I'm pretty
ramped up. Yeah.
I am ramped up. Because I see the onslaught of the enemy to the families.
Yeah.
And, for sure.
And earlier when we were talking about that, being devoted in the waiting, like again, my mind went to the warrior mindset, the soldier mindset. Of,
yes.
You know, how many times in the military did I go through the hurry up and wait?
Mm-hmm.
And even when you're waiting, you're still focused on the mission. You're making sure your gear is in top shape.
Yep.
You're making sure your weapon is clean and ready. You know, so it's like you've got all this stuff to do while you're waiting for the next thing to happen. You know, and it's, I think us as Christians, you know, especially, you know, because of this podcast, I'll say, you know, especially as married couples, it's like, what can we do, those practical steps to walk out to make sure that our marriage is tight, our marriage is solid, our kids are focused, you know, those things that while we're waiting for the next step,
mm-hmm.
what can we work on to make sure that the maintenance is taken care of?
Absolutely. I know for us, like something we struggle in, just being transparent. I'm praying the night, reading the night. You know, Lord, deal with me. You know, because it's always I'm the problem here. I am the issue. God, it's me.
Yeah.
My way of doing things and her way of doing things. She likes getting up in the morning, drinking coffee, and reading her Bible. So, of course, I'm out the door, and, you know, I'm doing my thing. So we don't do a lot of together reading, so it's an area that we struggle with. Does, you know, would it help and would it be beneficial if we did more of it together? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. We've talked about it many a times, and we've done family time. And, of course, my wife, I can feel her eyes looking at me going.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
She's looking at me, folks. She's looking at me. If I don't leave this room, I'll tell you where I'm at. but in this moment, you know, we take and we set aside time, but things can get out of control.
Yes.
As men of faith and just as men in general, as spouses in general, we have to, you know, we have to set up a guideline and we have to say, okay, we're going to do this or we're going to... you know, it doesn't matter what it is, whether, you know, it's sexual. Okay, honey, if we have to put it on a schedule, Wednesday's our day, we're hitting our mark.
Yes.
You know, whatever it is, you know, there was a time in our life where things were kind of, you know, we'd went through a loss and my wife was really struggling. And I just had to go to her. I said, honey, I'm a man. I'm a hungry man. I need you intimately. Like on a regular schedule.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I don't want to be intimate. I'm like, no, you don't understand.
This isn't about you.
Right.
This is about,
So, you know, we had to be transparent. We had to just open.
Yeah.
But it's in other things. You know, when you know, sometimes, you know, I don't get as sentimental about things as she might or, you know, that she has. And I have to find those things important as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what you have to do is you have to find a balance to embrace one another where you are and lift those moments up and encourage them.
Yeah.
She wanted to go further and get her master's. I'd be like, okay, you want to go to school? You're an idiot. But all right, I'll push you all the way, baby. I'll pay the bill, whatever I got to do.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just kidding in a sense, but at the same time, she needed somebody that would say, you can do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yes. Her mom and dad, that's, you know, they always told her, if you want to be this, you want to be that, you can do this. You know, I have to laugh, you know, when she was going through college, you know, her the superintendent, the dean, the guy that's in charge, you'll never be a teacher. You know, 14 years later, I'm going, yeah, you're eating your words, but
yeah.
You know, God don't call you to a spot by accident. So yeah. in the context, you have to find the things that are weak in your mate. And lift those.
That's good.
Find
John.
The things that are strong in your mate yeah. and use those to support you where you are. Mm.
Yeah.
I like that.
And not just lean on one or the other, but both ways so that you can create a balance that'll yes. grow in a place. Is our marriage perfect? Probably not, because no. I am the hardest man in the world to live with.
We've been around you long enough.
I plead the fifth.
Just yeah. kidding. Yes, she's sweet.
I'll say it. Yeah, I'll agree wholeheartedly with John. And I don't live with him.
You're right. But
and that's why I plead the fifth, because I do live with him.
So, you know, if you want to do better, you have to find a way to stay strong. And, you know, find what your weapon is. Yeah. Where you are, you know, are we on the same level spiritually? Probably not.
No.
Yeah.
But we've gone through different things. You know, she's been in church her entire life. I haven't.
Yeah.
You know, the context of where we are, but we're growing together. We're learning
that.
To love the Lord together and to find out, you know, I'm bold, confident. I'll tell you who you are and I'll, mm-hmm. you know, read your mail if I have to, if that's the way he wants me to do it. But at the same time, she's quiet, meek, and reserved. And then when God raises up confidence in her, then you don't want her to be.
Truly.
You know? So God will use us where we are, but we have to embrace one another.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And when those moments are available, don't miss the opportunity.
Yeah.
Because I promise your mate is going, do you see what I'm doing? Do you hear what I'm at?
Yeah.
And that's probably an area I don't do the best in. You know, she cleans the house. I'm going, okay.
I want the words of affirmation.
Yeah, she wants the affirmation.
I want acknowledgement. Like, look mm-hmm. what I did.
Yeah.
I did this. Yeah. I accomplished this today.
Yeah. I've just looked at Luke, and I'll just say, do you see I cleaned the bathroom today? I did, baby. It looks good. Thank you. I tell him, this is what I did. Did you see? I did, babe. Right. That looks good.
Now, as a man, okay, I'm going to probably get ran out.
Probably. Just say it.
But as a man, you know, I would rather just, I mean, I guess when it comes to my mate, I'm like, just tell me what you want. You want flowers? Just tell me you want flowers. You want a box of chocolate? Tell me you want a box of chocolate. I'll buy the sugar-free yep. stuff yeah. if that's what it takes. But if you want something, tell me. If yeah. you don't want something, tell me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm dumb.
Yeah.
Communicate where you are. I mean, and we've learned that. You yeah. know, she probably, you know, when she's had weak moments, she's had to tell me because I'm just assuming everything's fine. I don't pay attention to all the details.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to, I guess, you know, I've heard this phrase many times. I'm trying to fly at 50,000 feet and see where I'm going. You know, mm-hmm. I'm trying to find the next step.
Yeah.
So.
But that's where we've talked about just today, that mm-hmm. transparency, having those real conversations, yeah. building those relationships is important. Because if I don't have that relationship with you, or if I don't have that relationship with you, Dina, or Luke, in regards to a friendship, family, or whatever,
yeah.
you're not going to know.
You're right.
No. You're not going to know, because I'm really good at hiding my hurt.
Can hide.
I'm really good. I have become really good at being strong when I'm not.
Yeah. yeah.
And then I expect people to be like, hello.
Yeah.
I'm going through something. Why are you not helping me?
Right.
Well, it's because yeah. I haven't been open enough and used arsenals that
yeah.
has been given to me, which is a voice.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's
ma'am.
Part of our arsenal that
yes,
God has
ma'am.
Given us. I don't use my voice enough to say, hey, Dina,
yeah.
I got rejected this week.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it really stinks.
Yeah. You actually
I know
did
that there's something
me.
Better, but
yeah,
bigger, it, better things.
It's, yeah. It yeah. stinks.
Yeah,
and or
what do you
or,
got? you know, yeah. what do you got for me?
Yeah,
or sometimes the oh my gosh, why are you having a breakdown? Where'd this come from? It's right. like oh, it's been building for 3 weeks.
Yes.
yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
I just didn't tell you because I didn't want to burden you with the knowledge of my impending breakdown.
Yeah. But then going back to, you know, you were talking about us as a married couple, what we do to get through things and to build, you know, knowing our strengths and our weaknesses. But we're also parents. And it's important that as parents, we keep our family unit strong as well. And so there will be times I will say, hey, to our daughter, you need to go spend some time with your dad. So why don't you and your dad go do something? Mm-hmm. Even if it's just outside working on his truck, anything.
Yeah.
Just you need to spend some time with your dad. You spend a lot of time with me. Mm-hmm. I love you. But mom needs a break.
Yes. Yes.
So go spend some time with dad. Because dad's going to teach you life skills.
Yeah.
Yes. That I can't teach you.
Yeah.
And then when he's needs a break, so to speak, you'll come back to me. And then to go out and do things together.
Yes. Yeah.
That's important too.
Yeah.
Because I see too many kids every day who don't have that structure, don't have that love, don't have that family support.
Yeah.
And to have a strong family, you've got to learn to do things together.
Yeah.
You know, even if I don't want to go to the trampoline park, I'm going to go to the trampoline park.
I heard the trampoline park a lot today.
Even if I don't want to go to Oceans of Fun because I do not like water parks, I will go.
Good to know.
Sorry, there's no cameras in here, but my face says everything. Sorry, well, I have no filter.
Well, they're going to be building a new amusement park here in Kansas City.
Guys,
so
this one, we are going to enjoy this one.
It's based on Mattel.
I saw that.
So it's like Hot Wheels and Barbie and
all the 70s and 80s babies.
I heard that. Yes. Yeah. I just didn't know how upfront it was.
That's our generation, babe. Yeah. I'm so stoked. Because
they know that we're the ones that have the money now.
You have to strengthen your family too, and that means you're going to have to build relationships with your family members and do things.
Yes.
Keep that family unit strong.
I remember our neighbor next door coming out, and we were putting brakes on my brother-in-law's car, and Lee was six.
Probably.
And got the car all jacked up on blocks, and I've got the tires off, and she's covered in grease from head to toe. And
that's awesome.
Putting brakes on, and you know, I'm showing her where everything goes, and the neighbor goes, "You really shouldn't have her under that car." And I said, "I promise you, by the time she's a teenager, she'll probably be building motors in this yard." Of course, you know, and I was being sarcastic, but I was thinking back when I was a kid, you know, those moments meant something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I want her to be able to, you know, feel confident. You know, she has a flat tire, I want her to be able to change it.
Come on.
You know, if she, you know, has something that she needs to get done, she'll be able to take care of it.
Or even if she doesn't know how to take care of it, she knows
how to get help.
Yeah, she knows dad can fix it.
I mean, that was
dad
me.
Dad can fix anything.
Yeah, I was the kid that always was under the hood with my dad, my stepdad. And he was a lot like your dad, you know. So it's like, and you see Luke's woodworking tools in the garage and all of the things, right? And it's like, I was always surrounded by that. But what it put inside of me was even if I don't know how to change that or fix that or whatever, I know enough to keep me out of trouble, and I know enough to make me dangerous. You know what I mean? And it in a good way, because it's always that feeling of somebody taking advantage of you or something of that nature. And you can just stand back and say, nope, well, this is what this needs. No, I don't think so, but thank you for your time, you know, and it does, it creates, like you said, it creates a confidence inside of our children. And it also places a space, because you guys do have this really great relationship with your daughter. And Luke and I have talked about this too, you know, that you guys have created a space that even if she does get in a bind, when she gets in a bind, because again, life happens, she knows that she has a relationship that she can come to mom and dad, you know, and that's something that Luke and I are constantly in that space of, babe, do you know that I'm a safe person for you?
Yeah.
You know, hey, husband, hey, wife, that's listening right now. Are you a safe person for your spouse to fall down and fall apart right there at your, babe, I got caught in this. Babe, I did this. Babe, I, you know what I mean? Whatever right. it was. Even with all the presets and everything involved, this is what happened. Are you still a safe person? Are you somebody that says, we're going to fight through this together?
Come on.
We're going to link arms together and we're going to say, this will not take us down, but it will take us further and higher yeah. and above and beyond what the enemy made to evil. God is going to get the glory in the midst of this, you know, and it's having those presets too, because it's not just, I won't do certain things, but it's just in case something happens. And it may not inadvertently, however it went down, or just we're frail humans that are weak at times, and saying, or even looking at your spouse and saying, I'm struggling right now, like right here. Can you help me? And being transparent and being vulnerable enough to say, it's okay for me, not just as the wife, but the husband to the wife too, to be weak.
Yeah.
In front of each other. I like what you had said though, John, as far as like not just knowing your spouse's strengths, but knowing their weaknesses and learning how to build onto those things, because we tease with you all the time. We adore you, man. We really do.
Sure, you're great people.
You really are a good little brother. Because I do. I have to remind myself that we're the older ones
yeah,
of the
are.
Two.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Yes.
These two
not
are,
by much.
These two are babies. Yeah. But
not by much.
Sure.
Yeah. But you guys have such wisdom, right? That you guys walk in such wisdom. And it is. It's one of those where, you know, you guys complement each other so beautifully.
Thank you.
You really do.
Thank you.
You really do. As many times as I always laugh and say, I would kick you in the head at this point. It's just that simple. Talking to John, not Tracy. Tracy's my girl. So,
of course, it's me.
But it is. It's to see the strengths and how you guys just balance each other and how you allow the Holy Spirit ebb and flow through yeah. the two of you. It's encouraging. I personally want to encourage you guys. Because we have gotten a chance to sit in spaces with you guys that other people may not get to see. And you guys are the real deal.
Yeah.
You guys are the real deal. Who you say you are is who you are.
Yeah.
You guys aren't trying to sugarcoat it. You're not trying to make yourself bigger than what you are. You guys literally are literally the goodness of God. And we appreciate you guys very yeah. much.
Thank you.
Yes. So as we're going to wrap up.
Yes.
I'm gonna look to you, John and Tracy. Any parting wisdom, practical tips for couples that are in ministry, couples that are raising teenagers, anything practical that y'all would like to pass on that you haven't already shared?
Well, the whole teenager thing, I'm still working out, so I can't really answer or give wisdom on that. I'm not... that one. But I would have to say, keep dating your spouse. I'm still, after 18 years, learning more and more about him.
Yeah.
And then that respect for him is growing each passing moment. So date your spouse, fall in love with them over and over again, even in the aggravating times that will come, because they will come.
Yeah.
You will get mad at your spouse.
Yes.
And like I've said before, how are you going to handle it?
That's good.
Yeah.
You know, are you going to be a bigger person and be forgiving? Try and find a bigger picture, because your spouse is going to make a mistake.
Yeah.
Whether it's small or big, they're going to make a mistake. So keep loving them. Keep forgiving them. Don't stay angry.
Come on.
Because that's another window.
Yes, yeah. ma'am.
For Satan, to the enemy, to, and we give him way too much credit, but that is another window and avenue that he is going to use against you, because he has tried to use that against us.
Yeah.
Is our anger towards one another. And it wasn't pretty.
Yeah.
But...
just because you think I'm mad doesn't mean I'm mad.
Okay, what's your words of wisdom now?
Oh, I don't know that I have really any words of wisdom. I'm learning every day how to be a husband, how to be a father. And with that, I guess I'm keeping God the center of my attention, the focus of my affection, and the main attraction of my life the best that I can. And, you know, if we do that with God and he's, you know, making us his bride, what would it be like if we did that with our wife?
Yeah. Shoot, sir.
So.
Yeah. This is why we brought him down.
In it's place. True.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. Enough said.
I love that.
Yeah.
We love you guys.
We love you.
Too.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for talking with us.
I mean, yeah. They kind of didn't have a choice.
They really
didn't.
Well,
we didn't. No.
I mean, not that we had
sleeping on your bed.
Maybe. All right, guys. You have the best week.
Enjoy the journey.